Over the last couple of months, I have become increasingly focused on a distinction that really has served me well in terms of understanding how to pastor a church. And the distinction that I have become focused on is the distinction between cultural Catholicism and intentional discipleship. I have probably mentioned that before, but it is becoming a theme that I increasingly want to use to help us to move from one to the other. Of course, from cultural Catholicism down up to intentional discipleship. Now, let me be clear. Cultural Catholicism is not bad. When I was growing up, I grew up in a Catholic culture. I grew up in a Catholic home. My Catholicism for many, many years was totally cultural Catholicism. I went to Mass because I was told to. I believed in God because I was told to. I was brought up with devotions and the saints, but they really didn't matter to me. I just kind of went along for the ride because that's what my family did. Of course, I went through a period of rejection of all of that when I was first a teenager, or actually in my 16, 17, 18. And then, over a period of a year to 2 years, due to some crises that I was going through in my life, I became very strongly made the transition from cultural Catholicism to an intentional disciple of Jesus. The details are really not that important. But the point is that all of us, I think, at one time or another, at least 98% of us, are culturally Catholic. And I venture to say that in any given church, I would say at least 60-70% of the people in any given church are somewhere in between the cultural Catholicism, where they just do it because, like, some of the teenagers or children here are being dragged here because, you know, their parents are saying you're coming to church, or because your husband or your wife goes, or because you want to do it, just get it over with, and you don't want necessarily to commit a sin. And you're between that and then a total commitment to intentional discipleship. Now, examine the word intentional discipleship. I'm very conscious that the word disciple means a student. And if you call yourself an intentional student of Jesus, that means you're not taking the class because you have to. It means that you're taking the class, and what, by the way, the subject of the class is how to be a human being. Now, of course, let me just bring us an aside here. You might be asking yourself, what do you mean how to be a human being? I'm a human being. I know how to be a human being. And the answer is, no, you don't. Part of one of the things that I think that the Catholic Church teaches that is most obvious is that all of us are totally screwed up. All of us are totally screwed up. I don't think you have to go very far. Just open your daily newspaper so you can see that all of us are screwed up. Of course, we think we're normal, because some of us are screwed up more than others. And when you compare yourself to people who are medium screwed up or lightly screwed up, they all look like you, right? And so you say, see, we all are alike. But all we're saying is that we're all screwed up in the same way. If you want to know if you're normal, the only normal human being that has ever existed is Jesus. And Jesus is the only normal, the only person who fits the norm of what a human being should be like. It's basically when God basically said, you all have messed this up so badly, and that I'm going to fulfill that old saying, which I think God may have come up with. If you want something done right, you do it yourself. And so basically God said, let me come and be human so you know what it means to be a normal human being. So for us, we know we're messed up. Our human nature is messed up. And so we recognize that we need to receive help from God and to be able to choose to imitate the normal human being, which is Jesus himself. And so when we choose to imitate Jesus, we are intentionally becoming students of Jesus. And that's what it means to be an intentional disciple. You are a student of Jesus trying to understand what it is for you to be normal the way God intended you to be. That's the point. So all of us are moving. I think that there's five steps, but I can't remember them now. I'll tell you them in the future. But suffice it to say that between becoming a cultural Catholic and moving towards being a full-time intentional disciple, it's a process. And some of us go through quickly. I had to go through it because of a crisis. And others go through an entire lifetime of making that transition. But suffice it to say that sooner or later, all of us have to make that transition. All of us do. And I don't mean some of us. I mean all of us. If you believe what Christianity teaches, in the final analysis, the church and Jesus' teaching says there's one of two objectives. You're either going to be a saint in heaven or you're going to be lost in what we call hell. The rest of them are temporary. So sooner or later, you're going to be an intentional disciple or you're going to be an intentional enemy of Jesus. And so what I think is important for us is that wherever you are in that spectrum, that you understand that it is a spectrum and it is a journey that you have to take seriously, that you have to begin to study. And I do mean study. And when you study, by the way, it means you have to pay attention. And when you pay attention, it means you have to think it through and then apply it so that you can use the information wherever it's applicable. And so, a student of Jesus, we listen to the Gospels and we listen to Paul and to the other readings. And what we're trying to do is to listen to see if we can learn anything. And learn anything so that you can apply it to your life. That's what an intentional disciple does. Now, can you be good without going to church? Like a lot of people say, well, I guess you can be good up to a point. But that's not intentional discipleship. That's cultural Catholicism. Eh? And I'm not saying it's horrible, it's not the best, but it's basically there. So whenever you come to church and you listen to the scriptures, you've got you're a student. You're paying attention. You're saying, what do I need to learn? So let's apply that just specifically to the gospel today. Because the gospel today is really has a very interesting lesson to teach us. It's a very interesting lesson. Notice what Jesus says. Jesus basically says that the religion that the scribes and Pharisees are doing, it's basically they're doing the right things, but they're doing them for the wrong reason. They are taking their religion, and instead of learning how to be normal and human the way God intended them to be, they're using it to show off. Did you hear when Jesus said, they do everything they do to be seen? Now, if you are doing something to be seen, what does that say? Because what you're doing is you're getting your sense of importance from the people, from being stared at. You know, if you, for example, if you buy a super expensive purse, the one I always remember is like a Louis Vuitton, okay? If you buy a Louis Vuitton, now if you buy it because it's a good purse, I don't have any problem with that. But if you buy a Louis Vuitton and you walk around going, this is my Louis Vuitton, okay? Or if you buy a super expensive car and you go, this is my car, okay? What are you trying to do? You're trying to do the same thing that Pharisees did, right? All you're trying to do is to be seen. Okay? And to be seen, and people go, whoa, yeah, whoa, you're cool, right? That's what you're trying to do. Well, in Jesus' time, being cool was part of being religious. They didn't have the same cool that we do, okay? And so their cool was, well, I'm going to wear like a religious dress, and the tassels, you know, the tassels that hang down, they would make them extra long. And wherever they would go, if they were rabbis, they would say, oh, please, rabbi, come and sit here. Sit here, rabbi. Because I'm important. I'm important. And they would all enjoy being watched and bowed to. What are they doing? Notice they're using religion, or they're using whatever, but they're using it to make themselves to show off. And that's what Jesus is saying, look, that's not what this is about. And then he gives us several examples. He says, one of my favorite one is, don't call anyone on earth rabbi or teacher, because rabbi means teacher. Don't call anyone on earth teacher. You have one teacher. Now, to me, that's one of the funnier ones because I see it today all the time. I teach a lot. I work a lot with teenagers. And I always get a kick, kind of a sad kick, but a kick, come April or May, because that's when the seniors all start saying, hey, where are you going to college? Where are you going to college? And then people start saying, I'm going to UT. Or I'm going to Texas A&M. Or I'm going to University of St. Thomas. Or I'm going to Georgetown. Or I'm going to Harvard. Or I'm going to Yale. And then you have some kid stuck in the corner who said, well, I'm going to Houston Community College. And his head hangs down. What's happening there? What's happening there is the same thing the Pharisees did. Hey man, I'm going to college, a college that matters. And what are you doing? You're showing off. You're just showing off. Okay? By the way, I went to junior college. So I know. Do you know how long junior college lasts? 2 years, right? Right. I was there 4 years. I was in junior college for 4 years because I majored in poker. And they didn't give a degree in that. But anyway, true story. What are we doing? Call no one on earth your teacher. When we brandish our education, it's okay to get it from a good school. The only thing is, you can't suck from that your own sense of importance. Your sense of importance can't come because you're putting others down. Or the other one that Jesus used, call no one on earth your father. And of course, I can imagine many of you saying, when we call you father, why should we do that? Well, that's another issue, but I'll explain it to you. But what's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, look, don't show off because of your family. You know, say, for example, if you're a Kennedy, if you're a Democrat, you say, I'm a Kennedy. You sort of stick your nose up in the air because your family and your family lineage. My family is better than your family. And that's what the Pharisees, a lot of them, were doing. They were saying, I'm more important than you because my father or my family is XYZ. And you come from a nobody family. That's what he was doing. Jesus was not prohibiting the word father. The Christians down through the ages have not been told, never call anyone, including your dad, father. That's nonsense. And even the Bible itself, Paul says several times that he is a father to the people, to some of the converts that he has made. And so that's not at all what it means. It actually means to show yourself off or feel important because of your family, because you're a blue blood. Okay? So basically, what is happening in this gospel today? What are we supposed to learn? What we're supposed to learn is humility. Now, I love that sentence on the screen. Humility, colon. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Now, the word humility comes from the word humus. And humus means dirt, earth. Now, it doesn't mean that you're dirt. Think of it this way. When you are humble, what you are saying is, this person is down to earth. When we say a person is down to earth, we're not saying that a person is puffing themselves up or putting themselves down. They have a sober assessment of who they are. They don't necessarily think they're better than others or worse than others. They just are who they are. And how do you value yourself? What Jesus is saying is, always do it by who God thinks you are. That's why I tease a lot of times that I don't have any tattoos. But if I were to have a tattoo, it would be on my forehead. And I would like to have it backwards, so that when I looked at myself in the mirror, I could read it. And the tattoo would say, you must live your life for an audience of one. And that one is capitalized. Yeah. I may have told you this in the past, but it's one of my favorite fantasies. I imagine myself to be a one-person play, and I'm on stage. And as I stand in front of a whole group of people, the people over here, they hate me. Okay? And they're saying, "Boo, Father Mario, you're the horriblest priest that's ever existed. Get off. Get yourself transferred to another parish." The people over here, you love me. And you're always saying, "Yay, Father Mario, you're the best priest that's ever been. Yay!" And you here in the center, you're asleep. You couldn't care less. Okay? You just want me to get done with my homily and let me out of here. Okay? And so I got the people who hate me, the people who love me, and the people who don't care. Who should I play to? Who should I? Should I seek to change your minds so that you will go, "Yay, Father Mario"? Or should I play to you because you already like me? Or should I try to wake you up? And you know what the answer is? None of them. None of them. You see, what I imagine in my head is that in the very back, out there in the narthex of the church, standing up against the window, there's this little old man. And this little old man is looking at me. And this little old man is God. And what I have to do is I have to say, I have to please him. I don't try to please you to change your minds, or you to make you like me more, or you to wake you up. I gotta make sure that that little old man has a smile on his face. That's what you do when you live your life for an audience of one. And that's what an intentional disciple does. You listen to the gospel. You try to live your life as much by learning from what Jesus tells you, and you can learn from him. And you intentionally spend time trying to interpret it so that you can put it into your life. See, in life, you don't have the freedom to select a lot of what happens to you. Lots of stuff happens to you. You do a lot of stuff. But you do have the freedom to interpret what happens to you. I can't tell you how many times I've had a relationship, say, with somebody that I really care about. And they say something or they do something. And all of a sudden, I start in my mind going, "I wonder what they meant by that. I know that they don't like me. I know that that was a snide remark." And then later, I'll talk to that person, and I'll find out they meant something totally different. And I go, oh, I didn't have to interpret it that way. I could have interpreted it a totally different way. So notice, it's the same words. I just chose how I was going to interpret it. And you can choose. You have to choose how you're going to interpret your life. And a Christian, an intentional disciple, is a person who interprets his or her life using the teachings of Jesus. And you're constantly monitoring not what happens to you, but how you interpret what happens to you. That's what my favorite psychologist, Viktor Frankl, said. The ultimate human freedom is the ability to choose the attitude you will have towards your experiences. And you hear that from me all the time, because it's the core. You choose how to interpret life. And a disciple of Jesus is saying to Jesus, "Teach me. Teach me how to interpret life the way you do. Teach me to follow you." That's the difference between a cultural Catholic and an intentional disciple. So I say this to you because you're going to hear those intentional disciple words quite a bit. Because that's what we're here for. We're here to try to move all of us in that process of going from cultural Catholicism slowly over time or whatever time God chooses to get you to be an intentional disciple. And ultimately, it's your choice. You can choose to remain a cultural Catholic. I don't think ultimately, before when you go before God, you're going to have that choice. But while you're on this earth, you do have a choice. And the ultimate choice is yours. Thank you for listening.